So, hi everybody, how you doing?
Good.
You know, here's the deal, we're not done with our prophetic weekend. It's like, oh, that was a great weekend. No, we're not done yet. I think this is the final chapter. And we want to kind of bring this together today, and I think it's a word for your church, but I think it's a word for us in the prophetic times and seasons that we're in. I'm going to talk about understanding prophetic times and seasons. We have to know, and I think you just said that about, we need to understand. And the songs were just kind of loaded with this idea that there's seasons coming and seasons of whatever you want to call it. Well, whatever, we'll get labels on these. If you'll go to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, famous chapter, you might know this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to start with this. We suppose Solomon wrote this. It's very much like the book of Proverbs. He said, for everything, say everything.
Everything.
Oh, good. You're a talking church. I like talking churches. Those really quiet, mute churches, they just make me nervous. So glad you're a talking church. For everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. For everything, there's a season. And then there is a time for every purpose under heaven, under the stewardship, under the leadership, the superintendency, the watchful eye of God Almighty. Everything is under his control. Do I have any sovereignness in the room? Good. God is sovereign. He's almighty over all things. He's not partly mighty sometimes. Otherwise, got to change his name from Almighty God to Sometimes Mighty God. He's almighty all the time over all things. And so, for everything, there is a season, and then there is a time for every matter under heaven. And then Solomon begins to list 28 different seasons that we go through as humans, or maybe as a church, maybe an organization, whatever. In life, you're going to experience these seasons. Because the next verse, in case you're not sure, says there's a time to be born and a time to die. Anybody can relate? Any questions on that one? There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Any questions on that one? Say, I wonder, when am I going to die? Don't worry about it. God's got a date. You have a date with God. You just better make sure you keep your date. A time to be born, a time to die. Watch the opposites. Watch the extremities that he lays out for us when it comes to doing human life in times and seasons. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. Same verse. There's a time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh. In the same verse. There's a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. It's when you go to the youth meeting, right? Honey, what? Refrain from embracing during the youth meeting tonight. Now, come on, give mommy a hug. That's the time to embrace it, you know. You gotta laugh a little bit. Verse 6, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away. So I don't like to lose. I'm looking at this list, Clem, and I'm like, I like that one. I like that. I don't like that one. I don't, you know, you don't get to make a column. Like, these are the seasons I like and the ones I don't like. Because you look at something like, there's a time to seek and there's a time to lose. It's like, I don't like to lose. I got a question for you. What if you go on a diet? That's a good time to lose, right? I like a time to lose. See, it's context. Everything in this list has a personal context for you. Time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear. Cast away. I watched the movie Cast Away the other night. Don't ask me why I'm going here. I'm just going here. Well, I was in Edmonton, and I was just having jet lag. I'd just come back from England, and I was just awake. And I was waiting for a phone call from a guy in Australia. This is the kind of goofy life I live. So I'm just killing time, and I turn the TV on, and here's the movie Castaway. You're familiar with that? Tom Hanks? I'd seen it once, and it must have been, I don't know, I think it was 15 years ago. And I was just like, I've forgotten all this. So I'm just kind of watching it, waiting for my phone to ring, watching it, and I'm getting into it about Castaway. And then it reminded me of a guy that was stranded on an island like Tom Hanks was, and kind of did the same thing. Kept a little fire going, hoping that someday a ship would come by and see this fire, and sure enough, this ship was going by, and this guy said, I think there's smoke coming from that island. Well, let's go check it out. So they send a little dinghy out there. They go out, and sure enough, they're coming up, and the guy's running out. I'm saved, finally. I've been here for years. Thank you so much. And they're going, well, come on, get in the boat. And they go, who else is with you? And he said, it's just me. It's just you? Just me. I've been here all by myself for years. They go, well, what are those three huts there? He said, well, you know, that first hut, that's where I've been living all this time, in that first hut. They said, what about the second hut? He goes, well, that's where I went to church. I said, well, what about the third hut? He goes, that's where I used to go to church. How many used to go to church? How many never raise your hand in church? That's the rest of you. Okay. That was just a little humor. We got to get us going here. All right. There's a time to cast away. I don't know why I went there. It's for all the people that used to go to church somewhere else. Okay. Not you. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate. In the same verse, I know God hates some things. These six things the Lord hates. And you listen to Proverbs. There's things we're allowed to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. That's a good way to end. That's called eternity. In the meantime, we're in a time of war. We're living in a war zone. We serve on a battleship, not a cruise line. Sorry. All you cruise-o-matics. I go to a cruise-o-matic church. Yeah, it's like a cruise. It's just nice. Snap our fingers, we get whatever we want. Really? God ordains the times and the seasons for us. Not for him, for us. And he wants us to understand them. We need to understand these times and seasons. In fact, I think it's more and more required. We need to know the seasons of God. We need to be familiar with them. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 16. He says, look, you can look at the sky and you can predict the weather. Well, they had a weather app, of course. Or not. Okay. You can predict the weather by looking at the sky. He says, but you do not know the times of the Lord. You don't know the signs of the times. He rebuked them. You should know. So we need to know. Why? Because the church cannot continue the way it's been continuing and still achieve the final goal. If we were doing it exactly the way we need to up till now, we'd be done. So we have to keep changing with times and seasons, okay? We can't continue the way it's been. So God's requiring us to change, and the thing that brings change to us is understanding a change of season. So we get a lesson this morning from the birds. How many want to learn from the birds this morning? Okay. By the way, they wrote that great song. I love Ecclesiastes 3. To everything turned. Okay. That's for all the bird fans. Okay. So we're going to learn from the birds, not only the song, but we're going to learn from the birds through the prophet Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7. Jeremiah 8, 7. Jeremiah the prophet. The prophet's going to get us insight into prophetic times and seasons by teaching us about the birds. And so he says in verse 7, even the storks in the heavens know her times. And the turtle dove, and the swallow, and the crane, watch, they keep the time of their coming is a phrase, this one Hebrew word, mishpat. In mishpat, it's the time of their coming, or we might call it requirements, or rules, or regulations, or something legislated. Even the birds know what is required. All the Canadian birds are not here. They're smarter than humans. They said, it's going to be so cold in Calgary over the next few months. We're going south. Nobody had to tell them. They didn't need a bird prophet. Maybe they sent out a few tweets, but they left. Okay? Okay. Groan. Are you going? I'm going. We're going. We're out of here. So Jeremiah's kind of making a little play on words there, but he's saying, look, if the birds know their time to leave and migrate, see, migration is a creation principle. God created birds to migrate. He coded them. He didn't have to teach them. He didn't have to put them in a seminar. They know. They don't have to be taught. It's an element of survival. Migration is an element of survival. Same in sheep, because the root word for migrate is the same word for the root word for sheep. In the Hebrew, sheep, see, by nature, by creation, we are made to move. What'd you, I don't know what you're saying there, Margaret. You said something about that. What'd you say about moving? The season of moving? Did you look at my notes when I was last night? Did you sneak in and grab my notes? I'm going to sing about that tomorrow. See, you think that's what we do. We don't. God knows. They know. Sheep have to migrate to stay alive. We won't survive. You can't stay in the same pasture. You'll eat it right down to the nubs and the bugs and then get sick and die. So the shepherd has to move the sheep to another pasture. He leads me beside the still waters and green pastures. So this is a migration principle, element of survival. It is built into the structure of the birds. They know and they're aware. It's like, it's getting cold. Don't need a weather app. Don't need a thermometer. They say, it's time to go. Why? If we stay here, we will die. So Jeremiah says, if the birds know how to do this, let me ask you. He says, but my people, look at the rest of the verse. But my people, he's comparing God's people to God's birds. They don't know the mishpat of God. They don't know the requirement of God. Birds know when to migrate. They know what's required. My people, not so. Not always on top of it. They don't understand prophetic times and seasons. They don't know the requirement. Powerful word. A powerful word. Judgment. It's a legislative term where God says, I legislate change in the earth. And the birds go, yes, sir. And the humans go, I don't feel like it. I like it just the way it's been. Crisis is here to stay. And crisis is a clear indication that times are changing in the spirit world. Something's changing in the spirit world. Why? Because of crisis. Whenever there's crisis, God is up to something. And you better be careful how you pray in times of crisis. You can't pray away a crisis when God's in it. Ask the children of Israel. God sent crisis to Pharaoh. He says, you don't let my people go, I'm sending crisis, and eventually you'll let them go. So you know what? You either cooperate with God's plan or not. God created the crisis in Egypt. Why? To let his people go, to free his people. God's creating crisis in the earth because we're in the end times, and what's his goal? Free his people. We're going. We're going out, folks. There's an exit plan, and it's wrapped around crisis. So get used to it. You can't pray it away when God's in it. Because in the crisis, God is getting his people strong, ready to migrate to where he wants to take us. You must willingly embrace the effort to migrate. You have to. Because you know what? If you stay too long, you'll die. You stay in an old season too long, you'll die. You stay in an old message too long, you'll die. You'll shrivel up. So, it's going to cost you. Sometimes it costs you relationships. Yep. Sometimes it costs you things in your life. But you have to say, you know what? Things are shifting. I need to move to the next season of my life. God, get me ready. Get me ready. This is a word like get ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord was the cry of John the Baptist. If we want more of Jesus, we say, Jesus, come. He said, dude, you better prepare. Because when he comes, something's got to go. We talked about that last night. You embrace personal death process. Something in you has to die so more of him can come alive in you. God is legislating change in the earth. Therefore, the frequency of our proclamation must also change. Not how much, it's how. We're proclaiming on a different frequency than we used to. Hello, say internet, websites. We were talking about that, weren't we? The frequency of our proclamation has to change. Why? So we can meet the requirements of God. God says, I require you to proclaim the gospel on a different frequency in this hour. Because there's a whole generation that doesn't listen the way they used to. They're the heads down generation. They got their heads down looking at screens all the time. They're walking around like this. You go to airports, you go to airplanes, you go to trains. Everybody's got their head down. The Bible says, lift up your heads. Oh, ye gates, the King of Glory's coming. They're going to miss the King of Glory because their heads are down. But that's the frequency of their proclamation. That's where they receive information. We have to get in that world and then cause them to lift their heads. Because we have to move to new places of declaration. Got it? God wants to move you, migrate you, not just to inconvenience you or make a nice change of scenery. He wants to move you to a new place to declare who he is in your life to somebody that hasn't heard yet. Communication. And lack of awareness, see, is the prime problem. We're not even aware that God wants to do this. If you're not aware that there's a shift of spiritual seasons, then you begin to violate God's plan, his divine system for us. So my people need to know the requirements of God in the earth. God expects us to know, and here's the deal, respond. You can't just sit in church, hear a good message, and know something more, and then walk and not respond. Every new knowledge of God requires a response from you. Requires a response. You have to. So the question this morning will be, what's going to be the nature of my response? Every one of us have to sit here going, so how am I going to respond to this? And if you want to leave, I'll give you 30 seconds. For all the people who are like, I want an excuse. Can I get out of this? Yep, we'll get you out of this contract, but not for long. It's like, you're in. Sorry, you're in the contract. And here's the other thing. No one can tell you what your response is supposed to be. I can't tell you. Diane can't prophesy it. Just like the birds, they didn't need a prophet to tell them. My response to God shifting is I have to move. They didn't need a prophet to tell them. You have to hear it from God yourself. This is the burden that prophets have in the body of Christ, to teach God's people to hear God for themselves. Not to stand in between people and God. We're not the Old Testament priest. We're a New Testament prophetic equipper to make you Christ-like in your spirit so you can operate on planet Earth the way Jesus did in all facets of his ministry. It's prophetic. So all knowledge is met with a response because God's voice carries with it resource for execution. Why do you need to hear the voice of God? Because when you hear God's voice, you get resourced. He resources you in his word with power, energy, the ability to execute what exactly he is saying. It's not just information. I got a good informative prophetic word. It's like fortune telling. Someday this will happen. I don't know. Receiving a word from God is not information. It's for transformation, for God to transform you. And there will be movement involved. You just can't sit in the same place and say, that was a great prophecy. I'll be sitting here a year from now wondering and wondering, when's my next prophecy coming? No, in that time, God puts you into a movement. He puts you into a process of change and transformation. So, to everything, say everything. Everything. There's a season. And a time, tied in with that season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So we have to look at time because now there's 28 different seasons, 28 different signs, a time to do this, a time to do this. What are these time factors and how do we discern them as a spiritual person? You look at the word time. So we look at this word time in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word eth. It's three letters, E-T-H, eth. Similar to two New Testament Greek words for time. One is chronos. Chronos time is chronological time. That's where we get the chronology, okay? It has a start. It has a finish. It's measurable. It's hours. It's seconds. It's months. It's weeks. It's years. It's days. It flows unrelenting. It's devoid of any kind of interference. It doesn't take into consideration ethics, morality, none of that. It just keeps going. We say time marches on, right? That's time. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. It'd be nice. Monday morning, let's speed this thing up. Let's get to Friday. Friday comes, all right, boys, slow her down. The weekend's here. No, we can't do that. We wish we could. It's not subject to any activity on the earth. It just keeps going. It's relentless. And then there's this other word for time, kairos. Kairos time is a God time. It is something so appointed by God in heaven that it doesn't even make sense when it hits planet earth. It's out of our jurisdiction. You can't control it. It's a set time, a due season, a supreme moment. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. There was a moment when God said, now, Jesus, you go. Now you go to planet Earth. Not before the Roman Empire, not after it, right smack in the middle of the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. I mean, that was God's plan. That was this time. That was a kairos time. And this word eth would be the similar word. To everything there is a season and an eth, a kairos for every purpose, for every purpose. Because behind every time and every season, God has a divine purpose. You know what success is for the Christian? Just an accurate prophetic march through the season. Get through it. The British have a wonderful saying, keep calm and carry on. Just carry on. Did you get through the season? Yeah. Success. Yeah, but you got through? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you succeeded. All the stuff you encountered has nothing to do with the fact you got through the season. Right? It's like, in that season, a prophetic season, as you're marching through prophetically, there will be a series of divine pulsations that God sends to you in that season. And you have to say, God, what is the divine pulsation in my life right now in the season I'm in? Because I want to tell you, no matter what God is bringing into your life, there's going to be resource that you never had before the season started. And it changes your life once you come through the season. And you turn around and the success is you got the resource God wanted you to have while you were in the season. And when you walk out of season with God, here's the good news. You always come out higher than you when you went in. I don't care if it's a time to lose or whatever it is, you'll always come out higher because we're in an upward call in Christ. It's never downward. It's always upward. You might go through a season where you lost, but you came out higher in God. So let's take these words apart for just a minute and then apply them. Let's define a season according to Scripture. Let's call it a prophetic season. What is a prophetic season? You like good news, bad news in Canada. I don't know how you like it. Do you like good news first and the bad news? You know, like you want to be brought up and then let down? Or do you want to be... You don't want to be let down right now? You know, it's like the pastor is on his deathbed, right? And his wife's there and he's like, honey, I got one more request before I die. What is it, dear? He goes, I'd like all the elders to be my pallbearers. She said, okay, well, we can do that. Why is that? He goes, I just want them to let me down one more time. You know, just drop, let me down. What were you thinking? Why are you laughing? Why do I do? All right, so here's the bad news. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to lift you up. The bad news is about a season. It's an undetermined amount of time in your mind. You don't know how long it's going to last. Undetermined amount of time, here's the good news, of limited duration. It doesn't last forever. It might be years, it might be weeks, but you know what? God has a beginning and an end. It's of limited duration, but here's the deal. It's a time when you and God have an interaction you never had before because he's bringing to you a prophetic challenge you've never had before. Knocks your socks off, whatever you want to call it, blindsides you. You didn't pray for it. You never expected it, but he puts you in a situation that is beyond your natural ability. You are now in a prophetic season. Undetermined amount of time, there will be an end. What's my job? Keep marching prophetically till you get through with God and a new resource you never had before. Similar, a prophetic time is an undetermined period of limited duration in which God is now working on a specific phase of his overall purpose. Say purpose. Purpose. Yeah. In your life. God has a purpose. God has very strange ways of working his purposes out in our lives, which lends us to say, then what exactly is a purpose? Well, a purpose, you see, is the process by which God changes you. And so the Hebrew word for purpose is actually a word that means to bend or curve. How you doing? Oh, good. Just having a really good time with God right now. I'm in a particularly interesting season. Why are you all bent over? I have no idea. Or maybe they look and you're standing up and they go, boy, you look different. You're kind of like, you're looking good. It's like, yeah, I was over here and now God is. God bends or curves us internally, shapes us into the place he wants us to be for our destiny, to be more like Christ. What happens when we go into a new time and season? Guess what? Usually, first sign, pressure. Pressure you never had before. God starts putting a little pressure on. He's going to bend. Shape you. He's bringing purpose. Changes the season like, oh my gosh. And that's a good sign when you're desperate in prayer. When you suddenly are praying desperation prayers, you're in a good place. You're probably in a new season. And you're going to say, God, why? God, how? God, ah, I've never, ah. And it's got that gas, that's pressure. Come on, son. Feel the pressure. Right? I'm about to bring change in your life. I'm about to resource you. So I want you to apply this in these next just three or four verses down in Ecclesiastes 3, because we really want to say, okay, then God, with all this coming in, change of time, change of season, something happens, unexpected, undetermined, but what's this purpose? What's the purpose behind these seasons that I'm walking through maybe right now or have or prepare for what is to come? And so Solomon gives us insight in his own life and tells us this. He starts in verse 9. He says, here's the first purpose of a season. It's to press us to pray. Oh, yeah. God will get you on your knees one way or the other. To press you to pray, even travail, okay, to birth something and bring forth something that God wants in your life. That's Christ-like, something that wasn't there before, but But by golly, God's going to birth it in you through prayer. So Solomon writes this, verse 9 and 10. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I've seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. What is the number one work of a Christian on planet Earth? Our number one work is prayer. See, why do you say that? Because communication with God. In any army that goes to war, the most important thing they check on and work on and help make sure everything's in place is the communication devices. If the communication devices get taken out, blown out, or scrambled, it messes up the mission. There's two things the enemy's going to go after. Communication and supply. It's a battle strategy in any army. You cut off the supplies, you're going to weaken the army. You cut off communication, you're going to confuse them, and they're going to go off mission. That's what the enemy does with us. That's why the two most explosive teachings and the most explosive doctrines that split churches and split Christians and bring all kinds of confusion in the body of Christ is the teaching on tongues and tithing. We call it TNT. It's explosive. I'm not kidding. Think about it. Think about the controversy when you're teaching on tongues. Why? It's the perfect communication that God set up between heaven and earth. It's flawless. There's no confusion. It's perfect communication, and the devil has no idea what you're saying. So he wants to, this is so the devil. So the devil, he tries to make it a false doctrine. He tries to do this, and then when he can't do that, you know what? He takes credit for it and says, people say, yeah, tongues are of the devil. Really? But you see how warped we are? Satan so deceives people that actually people go around and say, tongues are of the devil. And he's going, thank you very much. They're of me. They go, you liar. Nothing's original in you. Shut up. What is he saying? You'll never know. You see, communication is so important. Prayer is our first work. I won't get into tithing. Should I, Pastor? He's going, he's like, you forgot the other T, Clem. Oh, sorry, Richard. The other T, think about it. You cut off the supplies, you're going to totally handicap the army. So the devil also fights giving and tithing. They're just explosive doctrines. Oh, they want us their money. No, all we want is to advance the kingdom. And God wants to bless you. You've got to just turn these things and say, we want to communicate with God. We want to be resourced by God. We want to advance the kingdom. It's all God. So what profit is there to the worker in that in which he toils? Solomon's saying, it was like, what's the profit here? I've seen the task, or I've seen the travail. Travail is a birthing word in Scripture. See, that prayer will cause you to birth something in that season where you're desperate going, what do I do now? Oh, no. Secondly, verse 11. Verse 11 says, verse 11a, he has made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. God's making something beautiful. So when you go into a season, you have to understand that season is a process in which God is making something, and you got to think kingdom and eternal and outside the mortal picture of beautiful. It's not cosmetics. It's not your wardrobe. It's not your countenance. It's not beauty as the world sees beauty. It's internal beauty, and it's full of resource. I would like to say it this way. God's making something full of resource in its time. That's beautiful. And it comes out of Christ. Christ is the ultimate resource, right? Christ's likeness is the ultimate resource. So if you need more resourcing in your love life, we receive your love, which means I receive more of Jesus because he is love. God is love. And so God's going to resource you with a love you never had because you go through a season where it's very hateful. Come on. That's why there's the opposites are there. Because you go into a season where there's all kinds of spite and hate and all this stuff, and God starts dealing with you about that level in you and says, I want to give you more love. I'm answering the prayer of your spouse. It's hard when your spouse and God gang up on you. It's always 2-1, and they always win. God, make him more loving. Okay, I'm going to put him in a different season for a little while. I'm going to resource him. God has strange ways in which he resources us. But you have to always know this. God is going to make something resourceful in you in the season you go in. And here's the catch. It's not just for you. That resource is for somebody else. God always, the kingdom is a giveaway system. That whatever God gives you, you give it away. You get the gospel, you give it away. Come on. B, 11B, also, he has put eternity into man's heart. What's the other purpose of a season? For God to enlarge our internal capacity with compassion. We care about lost people. Do we really? You follow me around for a couple days, you wouldn't know I gave a rip about a lost person. I'm serious. There's days I don't even think about lost people. I'm around them all the time, but it's kind of like ding, 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 ding. I'm in robotic mode. And all of a sudden, God has to shake me and go, they could be lost. I'm complaining about someone I've never seen before because they're taking too long in the security line at the airport. I'm like, bozo, you put your phone in your thing. You don't wait and fumble. You don't stop patting yourself down at the place you do it. Oh, I'm sitting there just rehearsing my seminar on how to get through TSA quickly. And anyway, I'm frustrated. And God's like, do you even care if they're going to heaven? Not, you don't care if they're getting through security. What about eternal security? Are they going to make it through eternal security? And I'm going, oh, I'm so sorry. God has to just smack me sometimes. Like, stop being so carnal. Just pray for them. God, help him never to be on my flight again. That's my, I'm praying. I'm praying. But you know what we do? We lose sight of eternity. We don't have compassion like we need to. So God is putting in a season of change, in a prophetic season, he wants to work and massage eternity into our hearts. He's put eternity into man's heart. We have to think with and see with eternal eyes. What's the eternal consequence of these people that drive me crazy? What's their eternal state? Do you care? And God says, I'm going to help you care. And the rest of verse 11 says, you know, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. He cannot find out what God has done. He cannot find out. I need another prophecy. He cannot find out. I need to go on the web and find. He cannot. I need to Google this because I cannot. You cannot. Say, I cannot. You cannot find out what God is doing from beginning to end. You will never fully discern the purpose of the season while you're in it. You'll never fully understand. So quit trying to figure it out. You can't. God says you can't. It's only when you come through the season, keep marching. Keep marching prophetically. I believe in God. I'm trusting God. I'm praying. I'm birthing. I'm receiving resource. You keep marching through the season, and then you come through the season, and you turn around and you go, oh, that's what God was doing. And that's why I don't have any hair on my forehead, because I'm always right, Richard? We go to the same school, same barber. It's like, that's, you don't understand until you get through the season. You look back and go, oh my gosh, I am full of resource that I never had. That person has changed. I've changed. The world is different. You don't get it until you get through the season. So quit trying to figure out, quit frustrating the purposes of God and say, you know what? I can't find out from the beginning to the end, but once I get through, God will show me. And he'll resource me. One more verse, verse 14, to understand prophetic times and seasons. The purpose of a season, according to chapter 14, A, I perceived, see, there's a time of perception that comes. That's being prophetic. In a prophetic time and season, God wants to increase your prophetic sensitivity and sharpen your prophetic senses. And suddenly, now Solomon's going, ah, I perceive. That's a prophetic word. I perceive. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Whatever God does. And do you notice in this? Solomon never mentions the devil. Not once. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. See, every season that God takes you in and takes you out of, every season has an eternal purpose behind it. Some will never know till we get to heaven, but there's something of eternity that God puts in there. And God uses those to refocus us on eternal matters, which matters most. Putting our eyes on eternal things. I perceived, I don't know what this just meant in the natural, but I know that what God did is going to last forever. In me, in them, and whatever. Nothing can be added to it, he says in the next part of the verse. Nothing can be taken from it. This frustrates us as humans. We want to be in control. We'd like to give God some tips. God, if you just took this away, and if you just added this, why don't you take this away, and then we'll just work a deal. How many of you have tried to make a deal with God? How'd that go? Right, Judy? How'd that go? You can't change or alter what God is trying to do during the season that you're in. You can negotiate, bargain, you can do whatever. Try tantrums, fleeces, abracadabras, and hocus pocus, shandabakayadaba, it won't work. In fact, pray in tongues more because it will edit all your goofy prayers that are trying to negotiate with God. Just pray in tongues. And the first half of your prayer will be the Holy Spirit will say, he doesn't need that, he doesn't mean that, he doesn't want that, don't give that to him. And then you're just like, wow, I just got the breakthrough. Robakasha, man, I'm getting a release here. Yeah, we finally edited out all your other prayers. Holy Spirit's going, finally, thank you for some time. Now. And finally, number seven, the last of a purpose. This is a big one. It's to cause us to fear God. And draw close to him. Not fear him and run away. Fear God and draw close to him. God has done it, Solomon says. God, no, not the devil. I went up with that time to lose. God has done it. God is sovereign. This is under heaven, not under hell. These seasons are under heaven. God has done it so that, what? People fear before him. Not scared of him. Oh, I just went into this season. I'm so scared of God. I won't go to church until this thing blows over. You better run to church. Run to your small group. Get into community. I'm not scared of God. I have fear I might stray from him in this season. I might take a step back. I might ignore. I might stop reading my Bible. I might pray goofy prayers. I can't go the other way. I must draw close to God. Because what is it you need most when you enter a new season that particularly maybe catches you off guard? Or maybe you're planning to enter a new season of life, whether it's in your aging or parenting or whatever. But and you get in that new season, what you need most is wisdom. And the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is what, Judy? The beginning of wisdom. Where do you begin to get new wisdom in a new season? You run into the arms of Jesus and say, I can't do this without you. I am be so afraid of myself. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid I'm going to make a decision without you. And so I run into your arms. I draw close to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Insight from God. I'm going to give you one more verse. It's not up there, but I just thought it was a really good tag to finish with. Psalm 31. Verse 19, this is so good. Psalm 31, verse 19, then we're going to pray. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Not everybody. Not everybody. How abundant is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you, and you've worked for those who take refuge in you. In the sight of the children of mankind. God works for those that take refuge in him. You go through a season, it could be all hell breaking loose around you, but you know what? You take refuge in him. You go into a fear mode. Like, I'm afraid to move left. I don't want to flinch without the Holy Spirit involved, right? And you get into that zone. It's comforting. It's comforting. In the last few years, we've been through some very interesting changes of seasons. And it's always particularly, I think you feel the greatest ones either in church life or maybe in your vocation, but certainly in family. They hit you the hardest. They make the most impact. And one of our sons just went through a terrible four-year period of disease and sickness and weakness. And it was very hard on our family. But man, we pulled together. Guess what? We hit the knees. Our prayer life together as a family went to a whole nother level. We became full of resource as a family. We found refuge in God as we prayed together. We shoot texts out, so, you know, the WhatsApp, like, okay, like prayer bulletin, family prayer bulletin, it's time. He just said, I'm feeling weak today. I need help today. We're on it. We're praying. And that season, we didn't like it. It was 4 years. I wanted 4 months. I was negotiating for 4 weeks, but that left a long time before. I was like, God, please, you can't add to it. You can't take away. God said, no, the four-year mark is what I have. It's an undetermined amount of time. You'll never know, but I am doing something. Oh, and the resources. The way I prayed, I changed the way I prayed. I changed the way I saw God. My relationship with my son, we were just talking all the time. I spent time with him. We talked about God's sovereignty. We talked about suffering. The suffering small group will meet on Tuesday nights at 7:30. Don't be late or you will suffer. No, I'm saying, you know, we don't gather around those doctrines, but you know what? They're real. That's part of the seasons. They move you into a place of severe human experience. That's what suffering is. Severe human experience. And we went through some severe, guess what? We became full of resource. We got theological resource. We got compassion resource. We went through all kinds of resourcing, all kinds of change. My son is so much closer to God. And he went through some other trials. We've gone through in and out of seasons. Losing, gaining, plucking up, all the stuff you don't, I mean, you know what? But you know what? In the end, full of resource. And I told my son just recently, I said, everything you've gone through, God's not going to waste. It wasn't just for you. It's for somebody you're going to encounter. And they pour their heart out and you go, I know just what you're going through. I was on a sick bed for 4 years. I know what you're going through. But here's how God got me through. And suddenly his resource is given to that person in need, right? To everything. Say everything. There's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I don't know what season you're in, but you need to respond. Say, God, how do I respond in the season I'm in? Teach me your ways. Resource me. Make something beautiful. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we come humbly, needy, wanting, and ready to move. Ready to migrate into the purposes of God. Ready to shift, change seasons, and acquire purpose. God, bend us, curve us, mold us and shape us like the potter and the clay, that we may become the fit vessel, not just to be great in others' sight, but to be full of resource for other people, to be poured out. We can pour out what we've learned in our season to someone that's about to go through it. Sent by the Holy Spirit, fashioned in the hands of God, able to do the work of the Master. The work of the Master.